Let's take a Bible, turn it to Genesis 18. We've been teaching on a little bit of angelology, studying angels, what they're like, what they can do, what they can't do. I do believe in good angels. And the Bible mentions evil angels. They are also, they have many names. Evil angels, gods with a little g, devils, unclean spirits, familiar spirits. The Bible doesn't use the term fallen angels, but we know that a third of the angels are going to fall from heaven. Is that still connected? Okay, good. They are going to fall from heaven. There's a war that's going to take place. The Bible says in Revelation 12 that Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon took his tail, since he's being kicked out of heaven, and took one third of the holy or the unholy angels, the evil ones, and cast them down to earth. The prophet Joseph Smith said, that all of the angels that refused to choose a side in the war in heaven, that God curled their hair, made their skin black, and put them on the earth as the Negroes. That's what Joseph Smith said. And he knows this because God told him that. He also said that Jesus and Lucifer were brothers. Nah. Didn't happen that way. So, I noticed people fanning. Is everybody comfortable here? Is it a little stuffy, you think? I'll bump it up a little bit. Okay, just a little bit. It's running now, I think. Yeah, it's running. I guess when that sun hits that roof. I took our friends from Tennessee up there and showed them where I do the broadcast from, and that room it's the hottest room in this, even in the winter time. There will be days I have to run the air conditioner up there because it just gets so hot up there. So anyway, Genesis 18, we'll start here, and I'll go past what we've looked at already. But let's read this first part. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He's talking about Abraham. And he sat in the tent of the door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. Now, we're going to find out later from Genesis 19 that two of these men were in fact angels. The third man with them is called the angel of the Lord. He was called the angel with a capital A that God would send to finish leading his people into the promised land. I believe that's Christ. And I believe that makes a connection then with Revelation 10, where the mighty angel comes down from heaven. He's clothed with the cloud. His face is shining as the sun. He has a rainbow over his head. That's the glory of the Lord. And God said he wouldn't share his glory with any other. So and we see Jesus in Revelation 6 taking the book and opening the seals. And now in Revelation 10, we have this angel standing there with the little book in his hand open. So it's either Christ or Christ has designated a specific angel to stand in his place for some reason. I don't know. I just know that when that angel appears, He declares that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has declared to his servants the prophets. And when you study the mystery of God, you'll find out what that means. There's several things associated with it, and one of them is the translation. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. The twinkling of an eye at the last trump. That's the sign we have over our nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. But in a moment. Okay. They're not going to get to it right away. All right. Anyway, three men stood by him, and when he had saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord." He knew who they were. "My Lord, if I now have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." And we know the rest of it. He fed them and washed their feet and so on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for Bonnie and Roy. Continue to pray for Sister Rose. That God would continue to heal her, bless her. Pray for Brother Sterling. Bless his heart. He had to go inside yesterday because he was out working, which makes him that happy. Amen. I like it when he's happy. And he's happy when he's working. And I'm not gonna take that away from him. anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray for all these and all others. I appreciate the fact that they wanted to meet you. And Michael likes staying behind the camera. He likes staying out of sight. But I just as they were mentioning John today, I like to mention Michael. He is the ministry of Kenya. And you pray for him, the Lord a blessing, because the devil hates him and has done some pretty rough things to him. So just lift him up before the Lord, and myself included, and everybody in this church. We could all use a little prayer. Amen. Especially it gets toward homecoming. Devil don't like homecoming. He don't like us at all. And so anything could happen to any one of us. And kind of lets the air out of our sails, but God will go, puts it back in. Father, we ask your blessings tonight. We thank you, Lord, so much for the things you've given us here. And I'm not talking about the money, but Father, that does come in handy when these people need to be fed and the bills need to be paid. But Father, the blessing of people that come and visit us. And we just thank you for that. That's to hear their testimony, to hear their story. And Lord, their love and appreciation for our church and for the people here, they just feel like they know everybody here. And Father, we just thank you, God, for people like that from all over the world that like to come here and visit and see us and meet us. Lord, what a blessing that is. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the church that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you've given us to do. Help us, dear God, to do it with joy. Father, it is labor, it is work, and sometimes it's taxing work. But Father, we thank you, God, for giving it to us. We pray, dear God, that we could be accounted as good stewards for your kingdom. To take the gifts that you have blessed us with, the talents, the resources, and Father, to use them to the best of our ability, Lord, for your kingdom and your glory's sake. Father, we just ask God, Lord, that you bless your word tonight. Give us some teaching, training, and some understanding, Lord, especially on how the devil's side works and what he and his devils do and how they do it, what they can do and what they cannot do. Just show us from your word tonight these things and bless these people, Lord, we've mentioned. We ask Your blessings in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. I think I want you to turn to, we mentioned this last Sunday night, the control that spirits or angels have over man. Very quickly, we know in Job that God gave Satan the ability to take away all the substance of Job and to have Job's children killed. We know from the New Testament, the Scripture tells us that Satan is the one who has the power over death. He can kill who he wants to kill if God allows it. And he is the one who takes their life. And I don't quite understand exactly how that's done, but he can take somebody's life. And he took the life of Job's children. In Job chapter 2, we see also that he has the ability to take life. He would have killed Job. In fact, I think that was his end game. I think eventually he wanted to show to God that Job was nobody. Nobody that really believed in God, that he was just saying God and praise Jesus because God made him wealthy. And when the devil took everything away from him, including his health, and then sent his three friends to encourage him to curse God and die, that tells me. And then we found out, remember last Sunday night, in Job, we found out that one of Job's friends met a devil, and the devil gave him words to say to Job. Turn to Job 4. I want to touch on that again because I think this is important. If you remember, several weeks ago, I mentioned to you that I had a dream. I have not discussed publicly all the contents of that dream. But in that dream, I was convinced while I was having the dream that a real evil spirit had come upon me in my dream. And I was shouting out loud, "Who are you? What are you doing? Get off me." And noticing that my tongue, it felt like my tongue was swollen and I was having problems saying the words, but I was saying, "In Jesus' name." That's how it came out. In Job chapter 4, in verse 12, "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth on men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up." He had a devil come to him and manifested itself to him. He said, "I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying." That reminds me of the man that, and he came here and backed up my testimony. He now lives in Tennessee, as a matter of fact. And I'm pretty sure at one time his family was in Jackson, Tennessee. But he's an old friend of mine, grew up here in church. And God told me to go visit him, and I went and visited him. I didn't even know where he was. He's right here in town. And he was showing me things that he was making. He was doing crafts by hand. And he had a block of carving wood. If you know anything about art, they make these little placards. And the face is soft enough where you can carve into it. And he had this form of a spirit, and it had like jagged clothing. You know what I'm talking about? Like Dracula would wear, or something like a bat wing. He had on that kind of clothing. And he told me, it was Mike Henderson, because he admitted it. Mike told me, he said, I can see everything except his face. And the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost sent me over there. The Holy Ghost was giving me everything to say. And I looked him in the eye and I said, you don't want to see his face either. Now he grew up in this church the same way I did. He knew as much as I did. And when I said that to him, he paused and looked at me. And I said, Mike, that's the spirit that has its hold on you. And I said, you're not going to see his face. He will not reveal himself to you. And I said, besides that, thou shalt not make unto thee, and he said, any graven. Graven means engraved. Carved image. And he said, what should I do? I said, I'd burn it if I were you. And I spent time witnessing that night. Got nowhere, I thought. We left. He called me a couple days later and he said, I'll be there Sunday. And he came down to the altar that Sunday and recommitted it. He was afraid. Now listen to this. Mike had been in and out, in and out, in and out. And he joined the Navy. Got in with some guys in the Navy that were in the occult. He's told me things. I think I believe him. But his biggest fear was, Mike, why do I want to just get back in church again only to not go anymore? He said, I've already done that dozens of times. I said, Mike, you know the power that the devil has, but you also know that God has greater power. And he came and testified. I didn't ask him to do this, but he said, I want to say something. And he said, thank you for going to see him that night. This was a devil, I believe, that was telling, who is this? Eliphaz the Temanite, exactly what to say to Job to get Job to curse God and die. Okay? Then we have 1 Kings 22, the story of the spirit that was in the mouth of 400 of the prophets to King Ahab. So we know that a spirit can preach a sermon, don't we? We know that a devil can preach good sermons and can have thousands of people respond to those sermons. But if it's the words of a devil, I wouldn't judge anybody who would come to an altar call or something like that. God knows who meant it and who isn't. But a man is saved by grace through faith, and faith cometh by the Word of God. And I know God can use that to bring somebody and then draw them into His kingdom through different things. I know what God can do. But I'm telling you, devils are preaching sermons. How can you, this man that was committing adultery with his wife and another man, how can he do that and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? How can a man, I dealt with the father who contacted me from Bristol, Tennessee. Bristol, Tennessee and Virginia. Fundamental, King James only church. The pastor was multiple times raping his twin daughters and other girls in the church. How can he preach the gospel? Devils do it. Devils do it. So I'm just telling you, this is the power that devils have over mankind who will not submit themselves under the word of the Lord. Now, Matthew 12. Let's deal with possession. Do devils possess people? Can they possess people? Can a devil... And let's talk about the difference. A born-again Christian, truly born again, cannot be possessed. Impossible. There's no room in the heart of man for God and Satan, for two masters. You cannot serve two masters. The Bible makes that clear. The charismatic church teaches that. That any sickness, any disease, any type of sin nature is because this Christian has a devil and that devil needs to be cast out. I dealt with a family years ago that they were a young couple. They were already having, they had several children. They were having some troubles in their marriage. They were going to an independent Baptist church out in around High Ridge somewhere, Cedar, somewhere around in there. But anyway, their pastor and pastor's wife, he was making, I will say, extraneous demands on his wife and saying basically that she had to submit to him in every way while she was constantly badgering him, yelling at him, cursing at him. Their pastor and their pastor's wife said that they had a spirit that was causing them to do that. And if they could cast the spirit out, then that wouldn't happen anymore. They called me and asked me my opinion. And I gave it to them. I said, it sounds like to me, if you don't mind my saying, but you called and asked my opinion, that you're using this idea that you have a devil as an excuse for bad behavior. You're saying, and they were taught that they must name the devil or the devil won't leave. They've got to name its name. They have to anoint all the walls of their house and they have to do all this ritual stuff to get the... And I said, no, your problem is you won't repent of what you're doing, number one. I said to the wife, you don't love your husband. And I said to the husband, you don't love your wife. Because if you did, you wouldn't make such wicked demands on her that she cannot physically fulfill for you. I said, that would not be happening. And they didn't like what I said. But they had learned that from reading different books and so on, that they had to name the devil and they had this spirit of this, and that's why I cursed my husband and all that stuff. That's not what the Bible says. As a born again Christian, you can be oppressed. That is a biblical word, oppression. It has the word press in it. To push, devils will do that. They will push you. When I go to Kenya, they push me sometimes. When I'm here, they push me sometimes. Your response to that should be in prayer and with Scripture, push back. Resist. See, God made these angels beasts. If you resist them, they will flee from you, but only with the presence of Jesus Christ. And I don't recommend you going around casting out every devil that you can think of. I sat with a family one time in Columbus, Ohio, and the family was from Wooster, Ohio, and they came to hear me speak. And we had dinner at a restaurant, and the man prayed. We asked him to pray over the meal, and he prayed for 10 minutes. He cast out every devil that could possibly even touch that plate. Father, we claim power over all diseases, over all sicknesses, over all evil bacteria, all this and all that. I mean, he named probably a dozen things that he was casting out of that food on that plate. And the guy, a friend of mine was missing, a medical doctor, Chuck Thurston, when we got done, he looked at him and he said, "You know that's not necessary." And he was right. Just tell God thank you for the food. It's that simple. But they had been taught that you had to name every possible form of evil thing that could be on that plate before you eat it. And if you don't, that's why you get sick. And I don't know where these people come up with this stuff from, but anyway, Matthew 12:22. "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb." Now, not everybody who's blind is possessed. Not everybody who's dumb, which means they cannot speak, is possessed. When Paul confronted Elimus the sorcerer, and he called him, "You son of Belial, thou child of the devil," and chewed him out for always corrupting the word of God. He asked God to blind this man, and this man walked around blind. He wasn't possessed with the devil. God blinded him. Now, we know the devil blinds the eyes, and there he's talking about the spiritual eyes, the spirit eyes, the eyes of your soul. He's blinded the eyes of men. They can see to drive, they can see to go in their house, they can see to do their work, but they cannot see the Word of God for what it is. And that's the difference. "It was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." Number one, I do believe that this devil had the power to both blind and mute this man. Jesus knew that it was more than just a disease or some genetic trait that he had. He knew that it was the presence of a devil, and he cast out the devil, and the man both spake and saw. But that's the power that they have. And we'll get into in a little bit how did this man get possessed? How does that happen? And do you have to worry about ever being possessed with a devil? Matthew 17, verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed." Now, the Bible does not tell us how old his son is. He may have been an adult son. "For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now, let's say that this boy, let's say he was 12, 13 years old. Is it possible that a child at that age can be possessed with the devil? Yes, I believe so. How do people get possessed? Do what?
They open up to.
That's exactly what I believe. I believe they are invited in. When you ask Jesus to come into you, wash you clean, make you whole, fill you with His Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit the Son, the Spirit of God's Son, crying, Abba, Father, dwells within us and moves in us. Moves us to do this and moves us to do that. Okay? I also believe likewise. I believe that Aleister Crowley was possessed. I believe Manly Hall was too, and I quote him a lot. Aleister Crowley, I have several books by him. I don't read them. There's just some things I just won't touch. I have books by Eliphas Levi, Aleister Crowley, and others, and I don't read them. I'll tell you a little story of something that happened to me when I was in Bible college to show you how the devil works on a person. When I was a teenager here in our church, there was a man from the Grace Free Will Baptist Church up in Arnold that God called him. He was going around, he set up a ministry where he was going to churches. He had done a lot of research on rock music, and he set up a little sound system up here. He could play things backwards, and there was backward messages in these songs. I remember that. But he was going through giving us examples of some of the music that people listen to and the lyrics of them and playing some examples. And just a very powerful. We used to have record burnings here. We'd bring in all of our old rock and roll tapes and records and everything like that and burn them. You don't do that anymore because nobody's going to throw their iPhone into the fire. But anyway. When I got to college, I wrote him and asked him, I said, can you make me a copy of the examples that you use and some of the script that you follow? Because there are some churches out here that I think would be interested in hearing that. So he sent it to me. Sent me his notes and he sent me the cassette tape. And so I played it, became familiar with it and read through his notes and everything like that. I found out that every time I'd walk into my dorm room, I'd hit that tape and play that tape again. Every time I walked in the dorm room, I'd put the cassette in the player and I'd play that tape again. And I did that probably once or twice a day, every day. And it dawned on me, Mike, that has an effect on you. You're going to use this to show people how evil this music is. And look at the effect that it has on you. Your flesh loves this music. And the Holy Ghost was right. My flesh does love certain music. Okay? And I'm telling you, that's their hook. They have powers. They know what affects our flesh. And they know how to get in there and get you to open up to them. Okay? Look at Mark chapter 5. We have the story of the man from the Gadarenes. There's two stories, very similar to each other in the Bible. One of them has one man, the other story has two men. Now, the Bible scholars say this is obviously a transcript error. That when they were copying the manuscripts, they omitted one or added one. No. They're two different stories that were similar, but one of them is from the Gadarenes, the other is from Gergesenes, a different place, and it has two men. But anyway, Mark chapter 5 verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. That's one of the names for them. And unclean. Think about that. In every way, shape, and form. His body was probably dirty. Okay? Go on YouTube and look up videos of people doing tours in India. The Indians who worship 330 million gods live in the dirtiest, filthiest places. And you say, well, they're slums. What does it take to bend over with a broom and sweep up trash around your slum front door? It doesn't. That has nothing to do with it. Unclean spirits, I believe, cause people to do unclean things. God is a clean God. In the tabernacle, there was a big wash basin called the laver. And they had to wash before they came into God's presence. In fact, for practically every sin that was committed in the Old Testament law, there was a washing of some kind that must take place before you could. You can say, well, now you're unclean for 7 days. Okay, the 7 days is over with. But if you have not been washed, you're still dirty. And I want to tell you something, that's a lesson in salvation. If you've not been washed, you're still unclean. Okay? There's an episode of Leave It to Beaver where Beaver and his brother Wally, they're sitting there talking. They're on their knees in front of the bathtub and they're making sounds in the water. And they get their wash rags wet and wring them out. Then they get water and drip it on their towels and make their towels a little wet. And then he lets the water out and Beaver takes a little bit of dirt out of his pocket and throws it into the bathtub. So he said that way it'll leave a ring and Mom will believe we took a bath. I did that. What, me? You remember that? I never could figure out how my mom knew I didn't take a bath. You stink, son. Anyway, unclean spirits will cause people to live in unclean conditions. Have you ever gone to a meth house, a clean meth house? A clean crack house. Okay? Huh? Yeah. And in India, cows just walking up and down the street, and they don't touch them. Because that could be somebody, one of their relatives that's reincarnated. Anyway, who had his dwelling among the tombs? Who lives in the tombs? Unclean spirits. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Look at the effect that this devil had on this man. He was bound with iron chains and could break the chains. That wasn't, no flesh can do that. The spirits can. So think about it. There's coming a day when devils are going to come falling out of the sky. And I believe they are going to promise mankind powers. Whatever kind of powers they want, they are going to promise mankind powers if they will give themselves over to them, and man will jump on that. Because, I mean, all you have to do is ask yourself what kind of superpowers you would want. And I guarantee you, whichever one it is, it seeks to serve the lust of your flesh. Promise you. Chains have been plucked asunder by him and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Do we not see young people doing that? Cutting themselves. Because the pain releases endorphins that they get addicted to. They literally get addicted to the pain because of the body releasing endorphins, which is like a painkiller. It's a drug. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. The synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone, and what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. He knew who he was. No question about it. This devil knew who... They all know who he is. They have seen him standing at the right hand of the Father. They are fully aware of who Christ is. And they know that he has absolute authority over them. And they know that they can't buck against him, because he could cast them into the pit just like that. And they don't want that. They don't want that. And so, and Jesus, verse 35, rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they came out, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. What was it that drove out the spirits? The Word. Power in the Word of God, amen. They don't... A friend of mine that I had in college, his parents were missionaries in Brazil. He grew up speaking Portuguese. There just happened to be that year a foreign student that come in from Brazil, and she spoke, of course, she spoke Portuguese, was her first language, and I can remember they just talked all the time. And he told us, he said, that they had a protocol that they used, because a lot of times when they would be having the service, somebody would come in into the service, maybe somebody they didn't know. They may be sitting there singing the hymns or whatever, but at some point they would start some sort of distraction in the service. And they would have to stop the service, try to see if this person was okay, if they needed medical attention. But generally there was the sense that this person probably had a devil, and they would send in. Now, I'm telling you, third world countries, this stuff is real and is seen every day. America chooses not to believe in things like this, so they're not as out there as they are in other places of the world, but they're probably more of it here than anywhere else in the world. They just conceal it better. So they said they had a protocol. If they felt like someone was possessed with a devil and came in that church to disrupt the service, they would hand them a Bible. Turn to 1 John. I'll never forget this as long as I live. They would hand them a Bible, Portuguese, and say, Can you read 1 John 5 or 1 John 1 7? Sometimes he said, they would say, What verse? Verse 7. I can't find verse 7. Well, they would point to it. Well, I still can't see it. Or they would say, They would read it, If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And they'd stop there. But what's next? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. They could not read that. He said that was one of their tells. That if someone they suspected of having an unclean spirit, if they couldn't read 1 John 1, 7, that was one indication. It wasn't everything, but it was one indication that person had a devil. And then they would ask them, Would you like to be set free from this devil? And then they would take it from there, go into prayer and fasting or whatever, and then try to cast the devil out. Luke chapter 4, let's see, there was a man that had an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out and hurt of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? with the authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. Again, Jesus did not ask this devil's name. He did not get into a conversation with him. He didn't get into a theological debate with him. He just said, leave. And when Jesus says, leave, and I have felt literally felt the moment when the spirit that would be on me would leave. You could just feel it. That all of that press, that pressing that was on you just lifted. And I didn't do anything except pray and cry, and God finally said, out. It's a wrestling match that I'm sure... I'll say this. If you're going to live straight for God, you're going to have... You will fight these things. You will. It's an absolute. Luke 9:37. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. In other words, just a word, be gone, devil, and he's gone. He didn't have to lay hands on his forehead like these clowns on television. He wasn't doing the theatrics like these guys. Peter Popoff, who they caught wearing an earpiece, who said he was hearing from God, and yet James Randi, a magician who went around busting psychics and faith healers and all that stuff, brought a radio detector in, found the frequency that they were using. His wife was reading the prayer cards that everybody filled out as they were coming in, and all of a sudden, Peter Popoff is hearing from God. John Roberts of Fresco, California, God's going to heal that back. God's going to heal that glaucoma that you have. And act like he's hearing from God. And his wife is speaking to him and busted him on national television, on the Johnny Carson show, busted him by showing the tape. Peter Popoff goes into hiding, declares bankruptcy. 5 years later, coming back doing the same thing. Makes me mad. That man's got an unclean spirit. Now watch this. John 10. Look at this one. And then I'll stop here. I'm going to have to get into how these devils get into possess a person. And oppression is different. And not everybody that you see in the world that's lost is particularly possessed of a devil. But the god of this world has blinded their eyes, and there is a spirit in them called Thor. Because I was reading Manly Hall the other day, and he said Thor, who is the prince of the power of the air. And I went, yeah, that makes sense. So I'll get into that. It won't be this coming Wednesday night because we'll be in Harrison. John 10:19, there was a division, therefore again among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And I believe the answer to that is no. However, and let me say it like this. The devil cannot open spiritual eyes. I do believe the devil can cause false, lying signs and wonders. I believe that. But when it comes to the eyes of the soul and of the heart, no devil can open those eyes. Only Jesus can do that. And not only can't they do it, why would they do it? Their job is to destroy the followers of Christ and Christ Himself, not bring people into the kingdom of God. That's not their place. So clearly they have a lot of power over the human body. When they are possessing someone, they can give people great strength. People who walk on coals of fire, I've seen that. Businesses spend lots of money sending people to training camps, teaching them how to walk on hot coals of fire, telling them that that'll help their mental acuity and they'll be better businessmen, better salesmen, and all that stuff. That is just pure satanic. That is pure devil spirits in them giving them that power. Stand up. Stand to your feet. I'm not going to ask you to walk on coals of fire. But what I was thinking of, and I make you stand up, that way I'll shut up. Remember what God said to the devil in Ezekiel 28, that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's one of the tricks that he has. That's one of the powers that he has. Father, help us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Help us, dear God, to know the tactics, the strength of our enemy. And Father, every one of us, you could have turned over to a devil long time ago. Every one of us, God, could be turned over and be put in the hands of unclean spirits who have control over us. God, I can't thank you enough for saving me from that. Father, I love you, and I want to serve you all the days of my life. For not only for saving me, but for saving my wife, saving my family, saving my brother-in-law, saving my daddy. God, I want to thank you. I'll serve you for nothing. For the rest of my life, I would do that. Because you've done so many great things for me that I do not deserve. Father, just help us, dear God, to be aware of what our enemy's up to and how our enemy approaches and how they come in and what they can do. Father, give us power over those devils. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, we thank you for that, for giving us the power to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father, we know that we will again wrestle principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. We know we're going to fight and war against them again. Always give us the victory, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.